Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 13. Give you just a moment to do that, because it's so important to have God's word for what you need, what you're believing God for. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 13. Remember the word. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest. And hath given you this land. What has trespassed on your rest? What has tried to rob you of your rest? What has tried to cause you to forget that God hath given you this land? I'd like to minister for a while this morning on it's not too late to possess your land. It's not too late to possess your land. One of Satan's greatest lies is that whether you're young or old, that it's not the right time for you. But the Spirit of God spoke this into my heart to minister today on it's not too late to possess your land. It's so very important to hear the word of the Lord. I ministered for a while in Tampa Friday night, and that thing just keeps rising up in me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing that I've sent it to accomplish, and it will prosper in that. Amen. We need to recapture that word, prosper. Hallelujah. It's already been provided, it's already been given. And as I've said, and I keep on saying, and it seems to really be catching on with a lot of people's lives, you know, faith, grace provides, but faith obtains. Grace has already provided for you through the finished work of Calvary as New Covenant believers. Grace has already provided for you everything that is needed, everything that is good, everything that is godly, in the right time. God's timing is all important. And I've discovered that time and time and time and time again. But grace has already provided salvation. Don't you ever let someone tell you that God creates people to go to hell. That's a doctrine of devils, and it's out of the pit of hell. I'm not saying that people don't love God that may be falsely believing that type of thing. But my Bible says, and your Bible says, and any Bible that's creditable says that God is not willing that any should perish. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus stayed by the well And we know the story. We've heard it so many times. The woman at the well. While the disciples went on to get their lunch or whatever, Jesus sat alone by the well, and a woman came. And he led a woman to Jesus, who went into the city and brought back a goodly part of that city to hear Jesus, the Son of God. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. 8 times in Joshua 1, in one form or another, God says, I have already given you the land. It's a done deal as far as God's concerned. I have given you the land. I have given you the land. God very emphatically says that directly or indirectly. It's some 8 times in Joshua 1, I've given you the land. But as we look at Numbers 13, chapter 13 and chapter 14, remember there were spies that went to spy out the land. 2 spies came back and said, we can do it. Let's do it right now. Let's get it on. Let's receive an offering for it right now. Let's get ready. Let's go forward. Let's move into this. 10 spies came back and said, well, you know, it's true that there were grapes and milk and honey, and it's a good land flowing with milk and honey. It's a very prosperous land. But we can't do it. We're not able to do it. And even among professing believers today, you've got the 2 camps, one that says we can do it, and the other camp says no way. And really there were a summary of 5 Bible reasons why they thought they could not take the land. First of all, they said there are giants in the land. Well, there always have been and always will be. We probably live in the most politically time of turmoil that I've ever lived in my life. And yet, thank God, there are marvelous rays of hope. God is moving by His Spirit. But there always have been, there always will be, giants in the land. Always has been. There's going to be some kind of a giant. I remember Hippie is kind of, I think he's strung out when he was trying to give me his revelation way back years ago. He said, you know, preacher, he said, I've got this big pearl. He said, it's the biggest pearl in the world. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, I've got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, there's an octopus on my pearl. I can't get my pearl. He's holding my pearl captive. And he was serious. He was serious. We didn't have a power tower. He probably would have called about that one back years ago. But there are giants in the land. There's always going to be reasons why you can't do what God has promised you to do or what God has called you to do. It's always the wrong time. It's the wrong season. Not enough, whatever. Giants in the land. But secondly, here's the problem with it. There always will be giants in the land, but they said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. in our own sight. How do you see the promises of God? Have you heard them so long that they roll off like water on a duck's back? Or can we read the promises of God and say, we're taking a new look and getting a new grip, and we depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to re-energize that word? Last few days, God has re-energized Isaiah 41:10 for me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up. How can you fail if the Lord's holding you up? Now, I'll be very honest with you. I've faced some challenging times in my life in ministry. Because we've been on the cutting edge most of the time in these years that we have been founders and pastors of this church. But I'll tell you, July has been a month that has offered many things, from emotional to homegoing in your own family, and serious decisions that need to be made, financial challenges, and just people that ought to be doing more than what they're doing, and they can't figure out what to do. If there was ever a time we all need to hit the ground running, and it's time to rescue the perishing and care for the dying, it's time to bring people in. It's time to witness, win, and bring them in. I believe that. We've believed that for years. But what people don't realize behind the scene, Satan hates a soul-winning church. Satan hates a church that is into Christian education. And that puts a target on both sides of you. And we've been there. Now, 40 years of Christian education, when school after school after school has closed and shut down. But I believe with all of my heart that God is a waymaker. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And you know where I am. I don't know where you are, but I know where I am. I can't make it without faith in God. I can't fake it until I make it. I can't run a bluff. I've already fired the shot years ago, and I fire it daily. And if I've ever faced every demon out of hell that said you can't get there from here, I have faced a new set of demons. But I'm here to tell you today that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So there are always giants in the land. They said you can't start a church in a post office building, but we did. And the building code said you can't do what you say you're going to do. I said, but we will. I remember one inspector came to shut us down on a Friday before a Sunday. Very sarcastic, and was kind enough to put out his cigar before he came in the building. He said, I'm going to shut you down, boy. And every once in a while, I kind of go off the rail. I started poking him in the chest, and I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. You look like you're sick. You look like your heart's bad, and you could die and go to hell over this one issue alone. And that man sucked air. I thought he was going to have one right there. He said, well, son, don't get so upset. I said, I am upset. You're messing with the house of God. And this is a silly thing you're talking about. If it's important, it's important. He said, well, I believe we can find a way around this. I said, I believe we can. Now, that was on one of my bolder days. Just don't get me stirred up. If you're on the wrong side, you don't want to get on my wrong side. That's for sure. Amen. Giants in the land. Time after time on Bear Street, we faced, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. But we did it. We moved downtown. They said, you can't do it, you can't do it. But we did it. And they said, well, you can't finance it. But we did. But God did. They said, you'll never get it paid off, but we did. Even though the storms came, thank God, here we are. Praise God. We didn't quit on our first day, we didn't quit on our worst day. You say, well, you talk about that. Yeah, that's some of my book of Acts. That's some of my 29th, 30th, and 31st chapter of Acts. This church has been a book of Acts to me. Praise God. Well, there are giants in the land. Then we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Abraham saw beyond the present. Some of you just need to go back and meditate and go over Romans chapter 4. I'm going to tell you, it'll re-energize you to your taproots. He staggered not at the promise of God. Strong in faith. You can't get back into your head. It'll get you in trouble. But he stood on the word that God had spoken. He believed the word that God had spoken. Well, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Well, a third reason that the 10 Spies Network came back and said, we can't do it. They said, we've tried and failed. You know, we left Egypt. We've tried, but we failed. Well, who hasn't? I wished everything I'd done had worked. Everything I've done hasn't worked, but the majority of it has. Amen. The majority of it has. We've tried and failed. Get up and go again. Who was it? Edison, I believe, that after 200 failures to create a light bulb, which is a joke today because kids aren't even taught that in school now. We're not taught anything about where we came from and all the marvelous inventions and breakthroughs and inventors and scientists. Our way of life is so awesome just by one man who wouldn't quit. They told him, Mr. Edison, you're a failure. 200 attempts and you haven't succeeded yet. He said, I've just found 200 ways that it won't work. I'll find a way that it works. And he did. And here it is. We're still living there. We've tried and failed. Thank God failure isn't permanent when your trust is in God. We've tried and failed. Well, go again. And then they said, well, it's going to require sacrifice of our time and money. Oh, it's going to cost us time and money. Do you know to win souls costs time and money? Amen. Now I could, well, I'm not even going to use, I'll just use it as an illustration. Like next Sunday, I could say, well, one of two or three or four ministers that everybody knows are on television and have a strong following. They're going to preach here next Sunday morning and this place would probably be full. But you could say, you know, next Sunday morning, we're not going to preach. We're just going to come have a prayer meeting. You could probably throw a rock and not hurt much of anybody. We respond to certain things, but other things we don't respond to. Amen. But it requires time and sacrifice. Nothing has ever worked for me unless I gave it everything I had. Amen. And nowadays, the list is unbelievable of what gospel workers expect. Amen. He said, you just take up the cross and follow me. Just follow me. Follow me. Follow where I go. Do what I do. Say what I do. Well, that's not getting much of a shout, so I better move on to the next point. It's going to cost us time and money. Well, we rejoice that someone else gave. What about you give? We rejoice somebody else sacrificed. Well, what about you sacrifice? There's been a time this summer that Joe and I have, I won't go there. We've given largely, not just chump change, because I believe in Christian education. I believe in this church. I'm not a hireling. Amen. But it's going to require sacrifice of time and money. And really, the bottom line is we don't want to use our faith to believe God. When are we ever going to understand? You're using your faith either positively or negatively. The same faith that says we can't, reverse that faith and you can say I can. The same faith that said I don't know what I'm going to do now, you can reverse that faith and say my God supplies all my needs. You're believing. See how deceived we can get? I mean, I'm talking to myself now. Sometimes we just get on this kick. You're believing something. And if what you're doing is not working, what you're believing is not working. But it's not believing God that's the problem. We're all believing something. There's times that, hey, I've got the victory this morning. Listen, I've walked with champions this week, and I probably had some of the most victorious times of fellowship and ministry. I've seen the goodness of God in the land of the living, so I'm greatly encouraged this morning. But I'm just telling you, there are times that it just seems utterly impossible, worse than impossible. No matter what God's ever done in the past, this church has seen the miracles of God, but what about now? Watch that. Our God shall supply all of our need. He did, He is, and He shall. I have seen miracle breakthroughs this week. Can't talk about them right now, but I've seen miracle breakthroughs this week. I understand what Paul was saying when oppressed without measure, beyond measure. I didn't know a man my age and stature could exist under such pressure. But thank God, just as much as it was, so great is God's grace. If you won't quit. The only way you can lose in this deal is if you quit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let me give you five Bible reasons we can do what God calls us to do. You ready for that? I'm ready for it. Amen. Just one more time, I'll touch that last point. They had the mentality, we don't want to use our faith to believe God. All right. But now, the two spies come in. I love these guys. I love them. I just want to kiss Caleb on both cheeks. He stood before the people. He said, we can do it. Hallelujah. All right. Here's five reasons or five ways that you can do what God's called you. Remember, God's already said, I've given you the land. I have given you the land. The Holy Ghost is doing something here this morning. It's not me. Praise God. I have already given you the land. And whatever your name is, whoever you are, God has already made provision to give you the land. It's not too late for you to possess your land. You're not too old to possess the land that God's called you to possess. You haven't sinned too much for God to take your life and by the amazing grace of God bring you through on the high side of victory. Glory to God. All right, number one, have God's word and promise for it. Because that word said that nothing is impossible with God. Have God's word for it. Write that down. All right? All right? Have God's word for it. What did God say about that? Not what did some naysayer say about it. Not what did some relative say. What did God say about it? This is really fascinating. I'm going along for the ride this morning. Praise God. Say it with me. Have God's word for it. Be able to put your finger on a promise of God and say, that's where I'm coming from. I'm still coming from the 41st chapter of Isaiah. He said, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Hallelujah. Have God's word for it. Number two, stay focused on that word. Stay focused. Don't let your mind wander. Don't let your mind drift. Don't get off on some negative binge or whatever. Stay focused on the word. Caleb, I love that man. He's probably one of the most unsung heroes in the Bible. Through all that 40 years when they were not believing, Caleb believed God. Joshua believed God. And believers always come through. Believers always come through. Hallelujah. Stay focused on the word. Stay focused on the word. Hallelujah. Number three. Oh, are you ready for this one? Never give up on God. Never give up on God. Ooh, I need to plow there a little bit. I saw some eyes cross right there. Oh, I saw maybe, ooh, fan me, I'm going out. No. Never give up on God. There's been times I almost gave up on God. But I got a grip on myself. You got to keep a grip on the things of God. Don't give up on God. God has not given up on you. Never give up on God. Hallelujah. Continue to pray and believe bold prayers. Bold prayers. We traveled a number of years ago with Dr. Gordon Lindsay, the Voice of Healing, of course, Christ for the Nations, they call the Institute now. But one of his teachings was that every believer ought to pray at least one radical prayer every day. Have you prayed your radical prayer today? I mean a prayer where you just want to, yeah, ah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You just want to kick a can. You want to do something. Hallelujah. Pray at least one radical prayer every day. At least one. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We were downtown in one of the most difficult times of this ministry before we got that financing broken through. I had a dream in the middle of the night with a big for sale sign up on that church downtown. Woke up and I was sucking air. I thought, oh my God, where did that come from? Man, I got up and got the word of God and gave the devil what for? I said, for sale sign, you coming down, boy. Amen. Don't put a for sale sign on what God's promised you to do. I'm going to get somebody stirred up around here this morning. Don't put a for sale sign on what God's called you to do. Don't put a for sale sign on what God's called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never give up on God. Never give up on God. Kelly, when that song first came out, every time I'd turn around, I'd hear Kelly, our little granddaughter, singing, never give up, never give up, never give up, never, 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 never give up. I remember that. I still hear you, honey. Just never give up, never give up. She was a little caregiver in our house one night when all hell was breaking loose. You say, what are you talking about? You'd have to be a pastor to understand what I'm talking about, and you don't want to go through that. I'm either crazy or called, one of the two. But I'll tell you, it just seemed like every demon out of hell was, and it happens every once in a while. It happens to me just like it happens to you. And I came into my coffee maker, and Kelly had left a note, a very encouraging note, dear granddaddy. And it was a sweet note. I've still got it, darling. Thank you for that word of encouragement that you gave. Boy, we need each other, don't we? We need each other. Oh, we need each other. That's one of the wonderful things about us coming together as people in a room like this. We need each other. Oh, God, how we need each other. I need you, and you need me. And remember on 9/11, people became friends for life that had never met one another, trying to get out of that burning inferno together. We need each other. Brother Andrew had his 50th ministry celebration, and it was not a large crowd, but it was a very precious time that we were there. And Brother Andrew, we were just talking about the times. I've been in board meetings when Andrew Womack, who now has seen God do millions and millions and millions of dollars, they said, the bookkeeper said, we're bankrupt. We can't make it. I could call two or three other big ministry names that I've been on their board, and I've been there with a CPA or a lawyer or something. I've been there when they said, you can't make it. You can't make it. Listen, you're looking at a man that's been right in the middle of hell itself, and we've believed God and come out of it. Not once, but God knows how many times. And I'm telling you, when you know God can bring you out of the impossible, you're hard to deal with. Praise God. Never give up on God. Never give up on God. Never give up on God. God has never given up on us. So you have God's word for it. You stay focused on the word. Never give up on God. I say that too quickly, almost. But you know, we all border on that every once in a while. You think, well, I've just tried and believed, and I've given, and I've done the right thing. Yeah. Number four, remember, your faith in God's word is your key to the impossible. You're never going to see the impossible without the key of faith. Have faith in God. The just shall live by faith. I love Habakkuk's rendering of that. The just shall live by his faith. I can't live by your faith, and you can't live by my faith. We can inspire one another, but the bottom line is the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Praise God. You know, it just touches my heart. You know, it's time for all churches to grow up. It's time to grow up. Some little old silly nonsensical thing happens. Well, I just take my purse and go home, or I just take my, you know, whatever. Man, I tell you, just say, Lucy, is that all you can come up with? Some of you just need to tell Satan, go to hell. Amen. I'm not trying to be cute or funny. I mean it. I've done that a few times here lately. Amen. not to somebody else, but I've talked to him that way. Praise God. Remember, your faith in God's word is your key to the impossible. Throw your key away and forget the impossible ever coming to pass. You don't quit on your first day, you don't quit on your worst day. And one final point here, those spies that came back. Remember, here's the way Caleb and Joshua made it. Don't quit before you finish. Don't quit before you finish. Don't quit before you finish. We had that impartation time when we had ministers that came in from different parts of the world and across the United States. We just met for one day back in the church here, a time of impartation. I'm still getting praise reports on that. And I thank God for the don't quit theme. I mean, my don't quits are all over the world. But I've got an amplified version of that now. Don't quit before you finish. Don't quit before you finish. Amen. Don't quit before you finish. Hallelujah. If I faint in the day of adversity, my strength is small. That verse has put me back on my feet madder than get out more times than one. I go back to that verse and say, all right, I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to faint. If I faint in the day of adversity, my strength is small. No matter how big my mouth is or how big my message is or how big my faith seems to be, if I quit in the middle of adversity, blessed is the person that is not afraid of some difficulty. Remember the Hebrew children. I tell you, the king said, you do what I want you to do, you're going to burn. They said, they didn't burn, they didn't bend, they didn't bow. Glory to God. Daniel, just keep on praying, you're going to the lion's den. He said, you don't understand. You'll die if you pray. He said, I'll die if I don't pray. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, I tell you, iron sharpens iron, doesn't it? We need one another. Faith is still the victory. Faith is still the victory. I said, faith, your faith is still the victory. There may be no help, no hope, nothing positive in sight. But I just keep going back to Abraham. All Abraham had was a word from God. That's all he had was a word from God. He didn't have the written word. He didn't have 20 Bibles in his house like some of us have. All he had was a word from God. Even in the New Testament, little Mary, God love her heart, she said, be it unto me according to thy word, not unto the King James or the Amplified or the what, you know, or one of my, no, be it unto me according to the word that God has given me. The word. What did God say? What did you believe? What do you believe now? Get ready. It shall come to pass. What did God say? Did you agree with that? Did you bear witness with that? Don't quit until you finish. Don't quit until you finish. Praise be unto God. So the spies all go. And you know, that's where church trouble comes in. God said, all I'm asking you to do is go see your real estate. He didn't ask them to vote on it. He didn't ask them. He said, all I want you to do, go see the land. Eyes. Open your eyes. Listen. And all they saw was giants, but Caleb and Joshua saw grapes. Hallelujah. And boy, I love it. It's one of those national things in Israel where they're coming back with the grapes. One of the times in Israel, they bought me one of those something in my office. They're coming home with the grapes. Remember A.A. Allen, years ago when I was a little boy and my mama made me go to church and abused me. I remember A.A. Allen preaching a sermon, "Grape eaters are grasshoppers. Which are you?" I thought it was funny then. I found out that's reality. You're either a grape eater or a grasshopper. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. David said, "Bigger they are, the harder they fall. Ain't no hill for a climber." Amen. Oh, you say that? Well, your mama's going home with a sad message tonight. You say, "My mama?" No, no, no. You got it wrong, Mr. John. Your mama's going home with a sad message tonight. Hallelujah. Because I come against you with a sword, not with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This is your last day on planet Earth. Glory to God. All God says is go see your real estate. That's just like I said, "Dan, I just came into a big sum of money and we just bought you guys a very lovely home. Would you please just go look at it?" Dan would say, "You know, I just don't have time. I just don't have time." Of course, he wouldn't tell his wife that. She'd beat him there. No, you know what I mean. You'd go see what was already promised. And that's all God said. "I've already given you the land. Go see the land. Go see the land. See the land for what it is." Hallelujah. Go see the land. Do you see? Do you see? Oh, do you see? Lord, take the spiritual cataracts off our eyes. Let us see the land of milk and honey, of blessing, of prosperity, of breakout, breakthrough. Let us see beyond backsets and bankruptcies and divorces and separations and all kinds of hell breaking loose. Oh, let us see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. My Lord, my Lord. How do you get down from 38,000 feet? Glory to God, glory to God. Charlie reminds me of it quite often, really. In Uganda one morning when I got through preaching and that church, 10,000 people there, I just broke out and started singing, "He'll never let go of my hand." And I sang it through two or three times and the people caught on to it and they began to sing it. We sang that for probably 20, 30 minutes. And I turned the service over to the pastor, and the pastor came up and he started leading, "He'll never let go of my hand." And then it takes a while to get out, so to beat a lot of the traffic, we went out the back door and we went up a little road there. And all the way on both sides of the road, going up to the transportation, the buses up on the main road, I heard the people singing, "He will never let go of my hand." You know, you never know the fire you start. In Colorado, their own edge, no charcoal. Watch it dry. Things are dry. Fires are such a devastating thing. But I'm going to tell you, you never know the fire of hell, against hell, that your little match will strike. Hallelujah. It's time to turn your faith loose. Sheila Bokota. Man, I tell you, this is interesting. Amen. Just keep on coming. I'll keep on preaching. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, you can make it. You really can if you believe it. You can make it. Hallelujah. No matter what's happened, you can make it. God's word is true. You're in a church that believes in the supernatural. You're in a ministry that has seen the miracles of God time and time and time and time again. And And I'm here to tell you that if you believe it, you can see it. If you believe it, you can see it. I'm not talking about pie in the sky and something stupid and crazy and awful. No, no, no. I'm talking about reality. You know, as the coming of the Lord is approaching, we're going to have to live more and more in the supernatural. We're going to have to live more and more in the supernatural. We're going to have to think that way. We're going to have to pray that way. Amen. We're going to have to just plug into the supernatural power of God as never before. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Do you believe this stuff? Anybody here believe this stuff? Am I preaching to myself up here? My God, have mercy. Everything I'm telling you, I've seen God do the impossible all my life in ministry. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I tell you what we need to do before we get out of here this morning. We need to act on the word we've heard. A few days ago, I'd done everything but believe. I'd tried everything but have faith. My brain was tired. I'd sought advice, but advice fell short. And I just returned to faith. Just believe God. Just go back to where you started. It worked then. It still works. Hallelujah. When no one can give you a word, God's already given you a word. Hallelujah. God has already given you a word. For he will never. You just need to come and close it with a shout. Let go my hand. Oh, he will never let go my hand. Though the storms may come and the winds they may blow, he will never let go. One of the reasons why I say anybody that does anything around here needs to hear the pastor preach on Sunday morning. I became aware of two or three situations where they hadn't heard the pastor in 4 weeks. That's not going to cut it. No wonder you get discouraged. No wonder you make mistakes. No wonder you get bummed out. All you're listening to is naysayers or some relative doesn't believe it can happen. You talk to the wrong people, you get the wrong advice. If you've been here this morning, you got the straight shot. You got the Word of God. We need the Word. We need the Word of God. And I listen to the Word of God. I'm not just high on my own ministry, my Lord. I love to hear other ministers that are in the Word of God. I go to conferences. There's preachers flying for one service, never hear what the conference is all about. That's a bunch of stuff. Amen. I like to go somewhere and get planted and listen. Be a part of what's going on. Amen. Who do we think we are? Our little old world is so tinsel, so cheap, so, you know. We need the Word. We need the Word. Remember the Word. That's what was said. Remember the Word, Joshua 1:13. Remember the Word. Don't forget the Word. Act on the Word. Embrace the Word. Believe the Word. Amen. There's no way you can go out and do anything from this church and do it effectively unless you hear this pastor. Now, I know there are those that are in other posts, and I understand that. And we're working on that one too. But I'm just telling you, you need the Word to do the work of God. You need the Word to live. We need the Word to live victoriously, to live successfully. We need the Word. We need the Word. So, well, you left out a point or two. You should. Well, yeah, probably always will. But that's human. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But you got the meat of it. You got the meat of it this morning. Remember the Word. We're living in a world of turmoil, hatred, terrorism, craziness, people hating one another. I've never seen so much craziness. And the only answer is the Word of God. Believing God. Believing the Lord with all of our heart. He's the only answer. Amen. Now I got through preaching for a while in Tampa there. People came up and said, "Man, you still got the fire." I said, "Well, I work on that." Holy Ghost and I work on that. Amen. I can't make it without it. I don't have any excuse to stand up here if I don't have some fire. Amen. Praise God. I want you just to lift your heart and just say, no matter what is facing me, I believe God. And I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to let it go. I believe God. Father, we lift up holy hands without wrath. I believe God, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. I believe God, I believe God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I believe God. I'm just going to say it and drop it. There was one day this past week, I think I had some of the greatest challenges, and it's probably a can of worms in my own head, who knows, but if worms not good for you no matter who you are, all right. But I mean, it was just, the day was just, depressing, discouraging. There was no ray of hope, no ray of light. You say, what is none of your business? Just thank God it came through it. Before the day was over, God turned things around. One day can make a difference. One message can make a difference. One word from God can make a difference. The fire of God makes the difference. The wind of God makes the difference. The promise of God makes the difference. Remember the Word. Say it with me. Remember the Word. Remember the Word. He's already given me the land. I'm going to take it by faith. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting God far in His great love. From all feel no alone. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting God far in His great love. From all one's head, it shall come.
trusting.
Seemed like I had a couple of those days this last week. I went to the cleaner. I was just tired. Had a lot on my mind, a lot of stuff. And one of the little employees in the cleaner, she said, "Pastor, let me help you with that out." Well, it wasn't. I said, "It's not heavy." She said, "I don't care. I just want to help you." We got out of the car. She looked at me. She said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well, I'm just got a few things going on." That little gal, she's tattooed up, and she'd be the last person you'd think would ever want to lay hands on. I mean, sitting right there in front of the cleaners, door open, cleaning up there. Man, she laid hands on my shoulder and prayed a Holy Ghost prayer. Now, I didn't say God was mad at tattoos. That's not what I'm saying. But I mean, just by her appearance, if you was trying to find somebody to pray for, you probably wouldn't have. I've never really known who she was or where she came from. But all of a sudden, it manifested. Praise God. You never know. You never know, do you? You can't judge a book by the cover, always. Amen. Praise God. Father, you know, we do it all. We lay hands on and we do all that, but moments like this are just as important as if we took time to individually pray for everyone. We desperately need the anointed, experienced word of faith. We all do. I do. To this day, I do. Amen. And I just thank God. The Spirit of God is in this room this morning. And if you had any reaching out at all, get ready, get ready, get ready. The Holy Ghost is working in you, for you, and on you. Hallelujah. This is not emotion. It's not emotion. This is not soulish realm emotion. It's Holy Ghost. Our DNA is Holy Ghost. Our DNA is Holy Ghost. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the Spirit of God that is in this room. I thank you, Father, that one more time you've set this bush on fire. One more time the fire of God has burned. One more time the river has been flowing. One more time the rain has been coming down. I ask you to bless every precious heart and every precious life in this room. Lord, there are so many precious people in Calvary Cathedral. Lord, I believe that this church has a very special place in your heart. I believe that. God, I'm just asking you that all of us say, how can I pray more? How can I give a little more? How can I help build up the body? How can I bring people in? Help me to get the word out. I've had so many people say, you know, Calvary Cathedral is one of the best kept secrets in the Metroplex. Well, for God's sake, let's get the secret out. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you that we're going home a different way. I said we're going home a different way. I am going home a different way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm living by faith in Jesus above, I'm trusting that love, in His great love, from all who I'm saved, in sheltering on, I'm living by faith. I feel no alone. One more time, I'm living by faith. Should be back 6:30.